The epistle for the first Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us give no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in longsuffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, through honor and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said to him, All these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. In thy sight are all they that afflict me. My heart hath expected reproach and misery, and I looked for one that would grieve together with me, but there was none, and for one that would comfort me, and I found none. These words are taken from the book of Psalms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to share with you an inspiring story which took place in China during the bloody reign of Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong was one of the bloodiest tyrants to ever rule China. During his reign, he mercilessly killed tens of millions of people. In fact, it is said that he is responsible for the murder of almost 65 million people. It was a bloody reign in which he declared the founding of a new communist nation. And thus, in October of 1949, the communists formed the People's Republic of China with Mao Zedong as their dictator. Now, during the communist revolution of China, a remarkable incident occurred. As the communists were setting up their godless rule, they came upon a certain village in which lived a Catholic priest. Without hesitation, the communists ruthlessly imprisoned the priest in the rectory near the church. They shamefully locked him up and confined him to his quarters. His rectory became his prison, and he was forbidden to leave and administer to his people. And if he did, the guards were charged to who were surrounding his house, they were charged to shoot him on the spot if he left. But one advantage the priest had was that he had a window that he was able to look out. One day when the priest happened to be looking out his window, he saw a most disgraceful act at his chapel. As he looked across the way, he was horrified to see the communist soldiers enter into it. From his vantage point, he could see the soldiers march right into the sanctuary. And then they boldly went before the altar, and they broke into the tabernacle. In an act of hateful desecration, they took the ciborium and they threw it on the floor with all the sacred hosts spilling out. We can only imagine the horror and sadness the priest felt at such a sight. He longed to gather up the precious contents of the ciborium, which were grossly strewn upon the ground. He knew that there were exactly 32 hosts, yet imprisoned as he was, he could not go to our Lord. Nevertheless, he longed in some way to comfort our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, who was thus cruelly treated. He yearned to make reparation for this monstrous act, but he was incapable of doing anything to remedy the situation. Now, when the communists left the church, they did not take notice of a young, small girl praying in the back. The Chinese girl was just 11 years old. She had witnessed all that had happened, and she too was horrified by what she saw. Later that night, when the priest again looked out his window, he noticed that that little girl had come back. She slipped past the guards at the priest's house, and she went inside the church. When she made it safely into the church, she remained there for one whole hour. She wished to make reparation for this great sacrilege. She wanted to make a return of love, and thus she made a holy hour of love and reparation. The little girl that stayed with our Lord, present there in the 32 hosts, which were scattered on the floor, and she made a holy hour of prayer. She made an act of love to make up for the act of hatred. And in doing so, she made reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. She, this little Chinese Catholic girl, sought to repair the damage done by the sacrilegious communist soldiers. Now, after she had made her holy hour, the priest then saw her perform another act of love. The little girl went into the sanctuary, and she knelt down reverently before the hosts. And remembering from her catechism classes that she was not allowed to touch the sacred host, yet she bent over and with her tongue received Jesus in Holy Communion. These acts of love and reparation were to be repeated. The little girl continued to come back each night to make her holy hour, dangerous though it was. And after every holy hour, she would go to the floor of the sanctuary and receive her poor Eucharistic Jesus in Holy Communion on her tongue. For 32 nights, these selfless and courageous acts were repeated. But on the final night, after she had consumed the last and 32nd host, she accidentally made a noise, and one of the soldiers woke from his sleep. The communist soldier caught the little girl, and he proceeded to beat her with the end of his rifle. So enraged with hatred was he that he kept it up for a while. So small and frail in body, yet so courageous of soul was this little 11-year-old girl that she persevered in this cruelty, and she died a martyr's death in that little village chapel. This act of heroic martyrdom was witnessed by the priest as he watched grief-stricken, yet he was inspired by such love and desire to make reparation to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, my dear friends, as I mentioned, we will begin today the 40 hours devotion. And the purpose of this devotion is to make a solemn reparation and atonement for the insults and indifference of men towards the Sacred Heart of Jesus present in the Blessed Sacrament. And thus we celebrate this devotion to adore the Eucharistic Heart of Christ, to show him our gratitude, and to atone for our indifference. We offer our prayers and supplications in order to obtain blessings and graces for not only ourselves, but for our families, for the church, and for our beloved country. Now, St. John Eudes, who was known for spreading devotion to the Sacred Heart, he once wrote this. He said, "The divine heart of our Savior is filled with eternal love for us." The heart of our Savior is filled with eternal love for us. And what this simply means is that there is a burning fire of love in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which can never be extinguished. And this love is directed to each and every one of us. Our divine Savior left his throne in heaven in order to live a life full of pain and suffering here on earth. He freely chose to be born and to undergo the hardships of life because he loves us and he longs to win our love. It was not necessary that the Son of God should become a man, nor that he should redeem mankind. Almighty God did not owe it to us. But because of the infinite love of the Sacred Heart, he took to himself a human nature, and he suffered and died a cruel death to satisfy for our sins. His immense love has driven him to go to excess, so to speak. And as suffering and dying for our sins was not enough, his love for us moved him to institute the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. How wondrous it is to think that he loved us so much that he would imprison himself in the tabernacle. His love for us makes him remain there continuously night and day for nearly 2,000 years and thus to be always with us. My dear friends, all these tremendous marvels of God's love for us require a return of love from us. Our Savior complained to St. Margaret Mary of man's ingratitude and contempt. He said, "I feel this more than all that I suffered during my passion." In other words, man's ingratitude is more painful to our Savior than all the torments of his passion. And this led our Savior to say to St. Margaret Mary, "Do you at least console me by supplying for their ingratitude as far as you are able?" And each and every one of us is included in this appeal of our Lord. He addresses these same words to us. He asks us, "Do you at least console me by supplying for their ingratitude as far as you are able. And my dear friends, what is your response? What is your answer to this pitiful plea from our Lord and Savior? For all that he has done for us, our response must be a generous one. We must return this love by making reparation for our own past sins and the sins of the world. The world today is consumed with sins of pride and sins of the flesh, sins of indifference, sins of negligence, sins of scandal, and sins of sacrilege. But what better way to make reparation towards our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament than to spend an hour or two before him during these next 3 days? Our Savior loves us with an infinite love, and he longs to be loved by us in the Blessed Sacrament. He wishes for you to be here with him. He wants to know that he is important to you and that you will make the sacrifice to spend at least an hour with him. Our Lord instructed St. Margaret Mary to make a holy hour of reparation, and he told her the purpose of this holy hour. He said that during this hour, we are to appease the divine anger by begging mercy for sinners, and to lessen the bitterness he felt at finding himself abandoned by his apostles during the Passion. When we think about it, how many sins oppressed the Sacred Heart of our Savior during the agony in the garden? Millions upon millions of sins down through the ages, from the very beginning of creation until the last sin that would ever be committed, all at once these sins oppressed him in the garden, and he was plunged into a deep sea of sadness. He took them all upon himself to save us from hell. And during that night, when he searched for human consolation, what did he find? He found his apostles sleeping. My dear friends, how blessed and how privileged we are to have our Lord truly present here in the tabernacle. During this 40 hours devotion, he will be exposed in the monstrance in his Eucharistic presence. In fact, among all the chapels which our priests serve, this is the only one. This is the only one in which we are able to have this special devotion. So please make time and come to the chapel and make reparation. There is too much ingratitude in the world today. You have it in your power, my dear friends, to console this heart of Christ and make up for the crimes and sins committed by mankind. Let us be generous with our time and keep our Savior company in the Blessed Sacrament. Comfort and console his most sacred heart by signing up on the sheet in the vestibule for an hour or two or even three. And if it is inconvenient to do so, this is all the better, for he will appreciate it that much more. Do not lose heart and be discouraged, but rather let that young Chinese martyr inspire you to be generous. She saw our Savior being grossly mistreated and gravely disrespected in the Blessed Sacrament. She saw that he was being crucified again by this sacrilege. And she risked her life every day for a whole month to make up for this horrific irreverence until she was rewarded with the grace of martyrdom. Let us be inspired by her zealous courage and saintly generosity. She was truly rewarded for her time before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And you, my dear friends, you will be rewarded too. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, "Be assured that the time you will thus spend with devotion before this most divine sacrament will be the most profitable to you in life and the source of your greatest consolation in death and in eternity. For time spent devoutly in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament," the saint continues, "will gain you more than all the other spiritual exercises of the day." And so, my dear friends, ask our Blessed Lady to help you make this sacrifice. Ask her under the title of Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament to obtain for you the grace to make reparation to her Son's Sacred Heart. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.